Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. If you're there, I'm going to read. Please follow with your eyes. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The title of our message tonight is Lose It. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we come to you tonight, Father. Please prepare our hearts, our minds, and we are here to listen to your word. And we pray, Father, that your word be preached. Father, we pray that this message will leave an imprint in our hearts and in our minds, so we can use it for the coming week and for the rest of our lives. We pray for our pastor, wherever he is right now. Please protect him and his wife. And Father, please just be with us tonight, Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just wanna thank you for. It's a big blessing to stand in front of you for this month while Pastor Shane is gone. And I know that you have been praying for the men that will be standing behind the pulpit. But yeah, I just wanna thank you guys, because it's not easy, and it's not a. This is something that no matter how proficient you are in the language or in speech, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then it's useless, and you know that, and we know that, and just like we're all the same. We're students of the Word. Amen. But we will not stay long tonight, because as you may hear from my voice, I am not capable to stay long tonight. Now, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. I think this is one of those sermons that we don't have any points. It's not a pointless message, but I practiced that. But we don't have any points. But I'll open up with, I think we have it all backwards nowadays. The standard of the world that we live in is the total opposite of God's standards. And I'll give you a quick mental exercise right now. If you would strip yourself of all the superficials of the world, and I mean your car, your house, these are all temporary. And as Christians, we know this. There are far more deeper and better things than these things. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're superficial. If you strip ourselves, of all these, can you genuinely ask yourself, and genuinely ask yourself, who am I? Or better yet, what am I here for? What are we here for? Because the world promotes all these superficial things. And just like what was preached last Sunday, last Wednesday, and this morning, we have a lot of distractions, a lot of thorns that has been being thrown to us every day. But beneath it all, who are you, right? What are you here for? Widespread today is the emphasis on the importance of a stable self-concept, identity, self, a good self-esteem. The world tells us through advertisements, propagandas, especially social media, that we have to learn to love ourselves. It's the number one theme of the world today. Regarding this as the foundation to which we can help others or love others, they say, how can you love others if you don't love yourself? It seems plausible. It sounds good. But it's the opposite of what God wants us to do. Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, verse number 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Was there any mention of loving yourself when Jesus was asked? He mentioned it a little bit in verse number 39, if you really look. But it's not a part of the command, right? It's not a part of the two greatest commands. In fact, psychologists, modern practitioners, they would add a third command, and that is to love yourself. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus specifically said there are these two commandments, no more. Because of our selfishness, because of our pride, the scripture presupposes that we already love ourselves so much, right? And that's one truth that has lasted man's history. That's one truth that the Bible got really, really right. And no matter which point of history, it is true that man will always love himself. Right? Now, verse number 24, though, tells us of our passage. We'll go back to our passage. Verse number 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Opposite of what the world is telling us to do. Our purpose, my friends, in this world is to glorify God by obeying his commandments. There you go. Keep his commandments. Think about that. Our purpose in this world is to glorify God by obeying his commandments. Now, I'll give you time to really think about it. Think about your daily routines. Think about your plans for tomorrow. Think about your plans for the week. Do those plans include glorifying God? What are your plans after church tonight? Does it put glorifying God as a priority, as a factor? It's difficult to think that we in this world, there's a lot of traps, and sometimes or oftentimes we are victims of the trap that the world has placed. And we don't even realize that. We fall into those traps already. That, you know, we're caught up in the cycle of self-gratifying and self-satisfying lifestyles. This message is not designed to keep you on your seats for a long time. So we'll push through. This message is designed to put a single thought in your mind tonight so that you can carry it with you as you go home and as you live on your life for the next week. That single thought is on verse number 25, and that's also the title of our message. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. As Christians, do we desire to live a life that glorifies God? Is that a priority to us? When we come to Him in prayer, and a simple thing like prayer, do we have that thought in our minds, that desire to obey and bring glory to God, to bring glory to His name, even in our prayers? Are our prayers just filled with self-gratifying requests? We serve a living God, my friends. He is the answer to all questions. He is. You know, we go on with our lives, with our routines, and we pray without ceasing. You know, we were talking about this in one of our classes where you develop a deep relationship with God where you don't even realize that you're actually praying. You know, you develop that very deep relationship with the Lord that when something happens or when somebody cuts you off, your first instinct is like, thank you, Lord. Or if you're almost in an accident, you say, whew, Lord, thank you so much for that, for saving me from that. Now, it becomes an unconscious thing. We serve a living God, and He is the answer to all questions in life and more. And last Wednesday, we touched on thinking about who it is we're talking to when we pray, the Almighty God. And yet sometimes we just take it for granted. We take our prayers for granted. Christians, He is the answer to everything. He does not deserve our half-hearted attention nor our half-hearted service. He deserves all. Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. This is just a small reminder that we serve a living God. Amen. He is God. He is the Almighty God. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. This is something that we don't think about on a daily basis. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now these things, this passage, we don't think about this every day. We don't think about this when we're on our phones. We don't think about it. Sometimes we forget that the God that we serve is the God Almighty, and He deserves all the glory, and He deserves all the service, and He deserves all the honor that we can possibly get. Now, coming back to our passage, Matthew chapter 16. I will now speak briefly to the unsaved. Verse number 26 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you are not yet sure if you're going to heaven when you die, my friend, Jesus is the answer. There's a reason why you're here tonight, why your friends invited you to come here tonight. And their reason is this: they love you. you will spend the rest of your life searching and striving and looking for answers and looking for the meaning of life, the meaning of your existence. And in the end, you can summarize everything. You can put everything, all the intellect and the divinity, and you will find that Jesus is in the center of it all. But if you don't go on looking for that answer, if you just live your life, you know, working and striving at work and getting money and building wealth, all these things, then it would still be the same. Your soul, our souls, are bound to go to hell. And it's only through Jesus we can be saved from that. And this is what verse number 26 is saying. You can have everything. You can have all the fancy stuff, all the goals that you have in your mind right now, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You can have everything. But still, if you don't have Jesus, when you die, what good are those things? Nothing. If you lose your soul, what is it for? John chapter 14, verse number 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 16, 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. There you go. That's the secret to life. Amen. And aren't we just grateful for that? Yeah? For the Christians, verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I really enjoyed the sermon this morning, which basically told us, which basically said, listen. That was the point, right, brother? Just listen. Take heed was the title. So then, let's take heed. I feel so fortunate, brother. You preached that, and I was the... no, Brandon was. Anyway. Let's take heed to the word of God. Let's be serious with our relationship with our God, because it all starts there. Our duty in life is to love the Lord our God. And that love will translate into service. That service is the obedience to his commandments. Christians, let's not lose our lives for the pursuit of temporary worldly things, worldly pleasures, status, reputations, or whatever. Let's mortify the deeds of the flesh every day, so we can live the life that Christ wants us to live. Let us find meaning and purpose through working for the Lord until he comes back for us. Our main takeaway from verse number 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Our main takeaway from that is there is an end to all of this. And when that day comes, Jesus will look for our service. He will reward our service. So if he will reward our works. So he's going to look at our works. Now, if that is today, and Jesus asks, where is your service? Can we answer him? It will take a decision, Christians. You have to decide to serve the Lord. You have to, even when it's inconvenient, especially when it's inconvenient, especially. That's what verse number 25 is trying to say. The reason why you haven't been experiencing the victories of the Christian life is because you have been so focused on preserving your life, your conveniences, your pleasures, and all these fancy things in your life. Turn it around. Yeah? Let's put God first. this way, we lose our inconveniences, we lose our life, but we find it, according to verse number 25. That's how we find it. We lose our life for the Lord, so we'll find it, the real meaning of our lives in this earth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for that short message. Lord, your word is your word. And as Brother James told us, preached this morning, listening is over. It's time for action. So Father, this week, as we go home tonight, we pray that your word will have an impact in our lives. And we will make that decision to serve you in wherever you want us to serve, in whatever aspect. Father, please help us and make us realize the more important things, and help us to do more for you. Father, teach us, guide us. We can only do it with your help, because apart from you, we are nothing. We are but dust. So Father, we pray that you will touch our hearts and help us to do more for you as we wait for your coming. These things we ask and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.